Are you sitting comfortably? Then we'll begin.
Again, and welcome to the AFTN Soccer Show, broadcasting on CITR Radio 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam Territory at the University of British Columbia. If you're listening to this on the podcast, this is episode 182. And we're going to make this a Whitecaps TFC post-game show. So we're going to relive every single minute of it, I think. How does that sound, Steve?
Yeah, that sounds good. By the way, my name is Steve Pander.
And I'm Michael McCall. And we're not joined by Zach this week. Unfortunately, he's on his travels somewhere into the interior. And by interior, I actually do mean the interior this time.
It was a rough one, for sure.
It's certainly not the greatest time to be a Whitecaps fan. And you feel bad saying that because we're only a couple of weeks into the season. Already, I don't know about you, I feel I need a break, which is just as well because there is one coming up. But I think if you're 3 weeks in and you already feel that you need a break from the team, not a good sign.
Yeah, if they were playing if they were playing decently and then you're still losing the games, then I could understand. But it's just one thing after another and nothing's really going right for the team. And I think the frustration is really showing by the players, by the coaches, by the fans especially. Twitter was just on fire yesterday after the game itself.
Yeah, but we'll come to that later on the show. We've got a lot of tweets to get through, and people can tweet us during the show at AFT in Canada. We'd thought about opening the phone lines up tonight, but that might just be a big disaster.
So, CRTC rules might get us off the air.
Yeah, we've made it a month so far, so yeah. I mean, that's pretty good. But yeah, I mean, Twitter went nuts after the game. I went down to the post-game press conferences of Toronto and Vancouver. And when I came up, the time that I had kind of got through all my post-game stuff, there was something like over 60 Twitter notifications for me, which I didn't have time to read because I was working on things. I then went to watch a VMSL semi-final up at Empire, which was way more enjoyable than the Whitecaps game I just watched. And then by the time I got home, it was like over 80 Twitter notifications. So it took a while to get through. One way of looking at that is at least it shows that the fans are caring.
Oh, for sure. It's probably a negative way this week, for sure.
And we've got a lot to get through tonight. We're going to talk about all the happenings from the game, the good, the bad, the ugly. I think there was good, but we'll come to that.
I'm hard-pressed to find any good.
That's
especially yesterday.
That's disappointing because I had a new
segment. Maybe 15 minutes ago in the second half, but that's about it.
I had a new segment lined up which I hadn't told you about yet. So that might not be too good then if you can't think of any positives. But
okay.
Yeah, I'll talk about that in a sec. What we're going to do, because we're going to talk about a lot of Whitecaps stuff to start with, I thought it's probably just as well to play a little bit of audio from Carl Robinson, just kind of covering what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about some of the things that Robbo said and some of the things that were discussed there. So some of you might have already heard this on the Whitecaps website, but for those of you that didn't, we'll play a little bit, 3-4 minutes of Robbo from the post-game press conference, just covering some of the things we're about to talk about. So let's just kick things off now with a little bit of Robbo.
how much was a Breck Shea sending off a turning point, and were you surprised to see him shooting his mouth off?
Well, it was a turning point because the game was pretty even. It played out exactly as I thought it would. Not much action in the first half, and then second half, you know, we tried to get into the troops a little bit to have a impact and play on our front foot, and we did. For 20 plus minutes, we were trying to, you know, engineer the game and trying to get that goal. Then, obviously, Breck sending off out of nowhere totally affects it, and we don't react. We don't respond, and we give away a goal, and the first goal was always going to win the game. So, disappointing. I don't know why at the moment. He actually gave him the second yellow card, but I will get to the bottom of it.
It looked like he got it from mouthing off. He definitely uttered something to the referee, which is then why he gave it. But we've talked about lack of discipline before.
Yeah.
What do you need to do to tell the guys just to keep their head out there? Because they're not listening.
Yeah, well, listen, what I know that he's... Listen, I don't condone lack of discipline 100%. We won't do this football club, me as a manager. But what he actually told me he said, and I generally 100% believe my player, goes on every single minute of the game. So it's a fine line, and it's a little can of worms. But if he said it, which he said to me he did, I used to say it every single game, 10 times. So... what you got to do is, if you do that and you send him off, no problem. We'll respectfully take it, but you got to do it for every player. That didn't happen.
Michael Bradley's word count was a lot longer with the officials. Is that the story we talk about? Some people have a lot of rope, and Breck may have said two words, and that was it?
I think we all see the game, don't we? I said, you know, I'm not here to make comments or whatever. My team needs to be better, but... as I said there to Michael, that what's really important is if you're going to make key decisions at key moments, then it's the same across the board. Obviously, watching today's game, it might not be the case.
Carl, 1 point from your first three games and only one shot on target today from 7 attempts.
Yeah.
What do you need to do to start getting the firepower? Because you've not had a good start to the season, and you now need to start trying to turn things around quickly.
Yeah, no, we need to hit the target more to have those chances, I think. Probably the last kick of the game with Eric went through one-on-one, summed us up a little bit, but just got to get back to work and practice. We'll have a couple of days off now after the heavy travel we've had, and we'll just get back to work. That's all you can do. You know, we need to be better individually and collectively, but up until the two goals, the first goal from Toronto, we were quite confident in the game, but obviously the first goal changes everything. So we know we need to be better. The first three games we've done some okay things, other things we need to improve on, so we'll just have to get back to work.
The lack of creativity in the middle of the park definitely has hurt you this season so far. Are you happy with your squad as it is just now, or do you feel you maybe need to make some changes going into the April and before the transfer window closes?
Yeah, we're looking at things all the time, and you know, I'd be lying if I said that I didn't want to bring anyone in, because I would like to strengthen in certain areas, but... there's a process with that, so we'll evaluate it over the next 2 weeks, because there are one or two areas that I would like to strengthen and bring some freshness into it. I think the lack of creativity you talk about, I think when Christian come on at half time, he was excellent for us, and when we get him back up to speed, he'll go away with Costa Rica now and get some more fitness. He will help us, but as you said there, we're always looking.
So Kyle Robinson there talking yesterday about all the stuff that came out of the game. And the first thing I guess we have to talk about is the Breck Shea sending off. And before we get too much into that, I just want to say we're not going to make that the main narrative for the game. I feel that's important to not deflect from the big, big issues that are affecting the team right now. But we do have to talk about it.
Yeah, definitely. It was essentially the turning point of the game.
Yeah, I
mean, considering it was heading towards a 0-0 draw.
You can't argue that it was the turning point. So it definitely was that. I think I could argue though that it was heading towards a 0-0 draw, because the impact that we saw Vasquez having when he came on, makes you think he was a guy that could have had an impact no matter whether we had 11 guys on the pitch or 10.
True, it's a possibility, but you can tell because the TFC, when Vancouver went a man down, they essentially took off one of their center backs, one of their three center backs, and stuck on an attacking player in Raheem Edwards. And he was crucial in that opening goal.
So looking at Shea then for a minute, second piece of stupidity for him in a week. He did the dive in Tigris, sent off for something really stupid. I mean, it's those kind of sending offs that as a coach, I mean, something like that can cost a coach's job.
Yeah.
But that's something that we'll come to later in the show. But that kind of stupidity from a veteran, really.
Yeah.
From a guy that's well-travelled and international. He's played over in the UK. He should know better. And he knew exactly what he was doing. All the players were warned pre-season that the referees were clamping down on dissent. He clearly dissented.
Yeah, and I'm sure they even showed videos of what, even like not even verbal, but like gestures and stuff like that, not what not to do in order to earn a yellow card. So I think they probably showed a lot of things. And even if he did use some profanity, there's ways to do it. Like if he had said F off, maybe that would have been different. But he said F you, which was directly toward the ref.
Yeah.
So there was some debate, but it's kind of been confirmed by people that talked to Breck what he said. He definitely said F you to the ref.
Yeah, and it looked like the ref kind of gave him a chance to apologize.
Yeah.
And then he mouthed something else to him.
Okay.
It kind of looked like it was a situation of, did you really just say that? And
yeah.
It's like, yeah, I said that to you.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, then, buddy, you're off.
Yeah, exactly.
And
there's no reason, even the initial yellow card, it was a clear, horrible tackle. And I'm sure he had done fouls over the 75 minutes or whatever he was on the pitch. So that tackle did warrant a yellow card. It was cynical.
Oh, yeah. And he was lucky, actually, not to have got booked before that.
Yeah.
And I can't remember who it was going through. And it was another clumsy, lazy tackle that he did.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Robbo said afterwards that it's something that he said 10 times in a game or whatever, if what Breck Shea told him he said was what he said. I don't think Breck Shea told Robbo exactly what he said.
It seems like it from the press conference.
Yeah, because, I mean, Robbo's defending him, saying, oh, I've said that all the time. If you tell a referee to F you know you're getting another
booking. Yeah, because that's a direct verbal assault on him, not just like a kind of a F off or something.
Yeah,
like
or just a general F ball.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see what Robbo says next week about that, because I don't think he was possibly given all the information. And the big talking point last night on Twitter was the fact, and it kind of stemmed out of something that Robbo said. As you heard there, he was asked about Michael Bradley and do some players get a longer rope with referees, designated players, American internationals, although Shea is a designated player.
And American international, yeah.
But like the big name players,
yeah.
he's not really a big name guy. Bradley's kind of one of the poster boys of the national team, of TFC, of the league in general. He might look like the screen painting, but he is a proper player. And towards the end of the game, there was a little bit of an altercation, which Labba was going around just putting himself about.
Labba essentially does. Kicked out at his calves. And afterwards, after we were in the press room and Bradley was walking from the locker room to the other side to catch the bus, there was a significant limp that he was walking with.
Good. So he just didn't kick him hard enough.
Yeah.
He could still walk. So
he still could walk, but he had a significant limp there. And when he did his interview in the dressing room, he was sitting in a sitting down position. So he wasn't walking around too much.
I mean, it's something Labba does all the time, which if we've
And Bradley got, mentioned that too.
Yeah, if we've got time, we'll play a little bit from Michael Bradley later on. But with that altercation, Bradley got booked for it.
Yeah.
Kendall got involved, lots of pushing, and it was handbags, basically. But there's only one booking came out of it, which was Bradley. But then he hounded the referee afterwards for a good 30 seconds to a minute, chirping away.
But he is the captain.
Yeah.
And he
there's possibly a difference that it didn't look like he was swearing at him.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, folk are saying it's one rule for one rule for the other. That's basically what Robbo was kind of saying. But, I mean, all of this, that was the story that MLS wanted me to write after the game from the Vancouver side, was how Shea's sending off turned the game.
Yeah.
But, as I said, that should not take away from the important narrative. And that narrative, the proper, correct narrative from the game, it was another terrible performance by the Whitecaps. One shot on goal in a home match. Second home match in a row where they've managed just one shot on target. So you've had two home games, two shots on target. They haven't served up entertaining play. Yeah. They haven't scored a goal. They've apparently got a smoke machine behind one of the goals now for when they score.
It hasn't been used yet.
No. So, I mean, environmentally friendly, the Caps are very green, so that's going to get a lot of folk on their side. But
like the first, like you were talking about, the first half, their best chance was Freddie Montero diving in front of the keeper and just slapping off his butt. And,
so, I mean, it wasn't even a shot.
Yeah, and it went wide. And then the second, their only shot on target in the second half was Russell Tybert from outside the box. I think maybe 30 yards out or something like that. And Bono, just basically whatever. Basically just gathered it up. It wasn't that hard of a shot for him. So no pressure at all on the keeper. Yeah. And his first start this year.
And talking of Bono, Eric Hurtado threw one-on-one with Bono, but Hurtado just hasn't found what he's looking for. He still hasn't found it.
No, that ball went to Joshua Tree.
Yeah. I think it went back to Dublin the way that he hit it. It was just an overall terrible performance. And there's a lot of things to look at as to exactly what went wrong with it. You look at the lineup that went out, and there's not really a lot, I don't think, that you would have argued about with it. I mean, Spencer Ritchie or Paolo Tarnaghi, Ritchie is getting...
Oh, Ritchie was not the issue yesterday, for sure.
Ritchie's getting... He's highly thought of.
Yeah.
And I think he is better thought of than Paolo right now in the goalkeeping ranks. So that wasn't a problem. But if you look at the rest of the team, and if you were penciling in from the available players that were going to go out there, that's pretty much, I think, your strongest team that you would have put out if Bolaños wasn't 100% fit to start, which by the sounds of it, he wasn't.
No, and that's true. I think the one possible error they might have done was the, and this is probably hindsight, we were looking going into the game, you're probably going, it's probably a correct decision, but Alfonso Davies, after playing quite a few minutes in Mexico against Tigres, maybe he was, there would have been a better option to start somebody else in that position. But I think the only other person they would have started was Kakuta. And I think Robbo really wanted to send a message to him based on his performance the week before in San Jose. So maybe he wanted some defensive responsibility from Davies. But in that first half, Davies had no space whatsoever. And I think near the end of the first half, he started actually drifting towards the center. And Mosquito would go onto that right side to get away from that mark. Because I think it was Betashore mostly that had him. And Betashore tracked him down big time.
Yeah, and the, I mean, you're talking about Manny, and I think there was a message sent. And if Bolaños wasn't good to start, you go with Davies. But Robbo did say afterwards that he felt that he said he was going back and forward as to whether to play him.
Yeah.
He wasn't sure that he was going to be like completely fit to go. And he was tired, so that's why he took him off at halftime. The game changed, though, when Bola came on.
Oh, for sure. That like I said earlier, that was probably the best part of the game, the 15 minutes or so. Or 20 minutes, yeah.
But then you go a man down, you go a goal down from a difference maker,
yeah,
which the Whitecaps seem to be severely lacking.
Yeah.
So what does Robbo do? He brings on... Actually, I think he brought them on just before the goal, but you bring on two speedsters, Kakuta Manny, Eric Hurtado. One of them can't defend, and you're already down a man. One of them very seldomly finds a target. I just don't think that was the right subs to bring on at that point.
But what other options do you have off the bench? There's not much there.
Well, you could have looked at like trying to just solidify it by bringing Jacobson on.
But even Jacobson, we're already starving for creativity. We're already starving for creativity in the going forward. Jacobson would have stifled it even more. There was nothing really to do at that point, and I think I don't have a problem with Kakuta and Air coming on at that point, especially with Montero not being at full health.
Another big thing to look at is possession stats. And looking at it for the season, at no point this season have the Whitecaps in their four games, and I'm including Tigres in this.
I don't know if you want to include Tigres. That wasn't that we knew going in it was going to be like 80-20.
All right, let's look at the three MLS.
The San Jose one was surprising.
Yeah, you've got. Yesterday against TFC, 42.1% possession.
Home game.
Philly, 45.6% possession.
Home opener.
San Jose, where you score two goals in the opening 20 minutes. Yes, you then go down a man. 22.2%.
That's unbelievable, that one right there. I mean, even down to man.
Yeah. The first 20 minutes obviously got the Whitecaps most of their possession. But, I mean, to go down a man, the one thing you want to do in an away game or any game when you go down a man is get the ball up the other end of the pitch, and you want to kind of kill the time, kill the game, take it to corner flags, slow the pace down. You don't want to be giving the other team a ton of possession. And that's what the Whitecaps are doing over and over. Looking at it from a home game perspective, teams are meant to be more attacking at home. Teams are meant to go for it. And it's something which Greg Vanney talks about a little bit later on, and we're going to play some Vanney audio for you. He talks about how on the road, you want to play it tight. You then want to frustrate the home side and try and keep a clean sheet.
Yeah.
Toronto did that perfectly yesterday. But he said then when you're at home, you want to go out, you want to entertain, you want to play free-flowing soccer.
Yeah.
Whitecaps are far from playing free-flowing soccer. And I know something which was irritating a lot of people from various tweets that we got was the fact that so many times the Caps are starting an attack and then going backwards. They're passing backwards.
And you were mentioning that Tim Parker was doing that same move every time he had the ball. It was back to the keeper or back to Waston.
It's something... He's done it a lot. I just really, really noticed it yesterday. It just kind of started to irritate me a bit yesterday. He would get the ball in his own half, no one around him. And as soon as he gets the ball, he turns around. There's like no intention of playing that ball forward.
Yeah.
And there was a time yesterday early on when Spencer Ritchie had the ball and it was going to be a goal kick. And you had Parker on the left, Waston on the right, wanting it kind of played to them. So it'd be a slow build up for the back. And he's like, no, get forward. I'm going to kick it up. You're at home. You're meant to play attacking football. You're wanting to get the crowds in. You're wanting to entertain them. You haven't sold out your home opener for the first time. It's a Canadian derby. You can't even sell that out. You're playing really crap football. What is the incentive to get these fans bums on the seats? Because right now it's none.
And the thing is if you, and it was, I think, 14 minutes to go when they scored. And as soon as that first goal went in, it's a Saturday afternoon game. It's not like a Saturday night game, not a weekday night game. People started walking out as soon as that first goal went in.
Oh, you can't blame them.
And the thing is, talking about what you were about the back four and the holding midfielders, in fact, too. A couple of tweets we got just half an hour before the show started. Jay Humphreys at LWO04 said, "Reliance on a back six incapable of transitioning possession into attack without hoofing it away. That's something he would like." The Whitecaps desperately need. And Brenton Walters at Caps Offside said, any deep player capable or comfortable of holding the ball with a tad bit of vision. And I think that's essentially what you were talking about there. You need something going forward. Forget the back four. The two holding midfielders were doing very little of that. They were just basically chasing the ball all day long.
And I'm going to give you some... was working on an article which I meant to bring out before this season started, just ran out of time. And it's something which I'm going to work on this week and bring out to you. But I was looking at, since the Whitecaps joined MLS, all the results for every team, home form. And the Whitecaps are right down the table. The Whitecaps, not including the two games from this season, five seasons in, 102 home games, they've won 47 of them. 46% win record, and it puts them below so many clubs. Like New England's above them, Columbus is above them, Houston's above them, all the teams you'd expect to be above them because they go far in the playoffs. It's, you're not going to be a playoff team, you're not going to do well if you're not even winning 50% of your home games. And playing the way the Whitecaps have been playing, you're not going to win home games.
And that's under a number of different coaches, too. It's not, you just can't blame it on one coach or one style of play. It's a consistent thing throughout the years they've been since they've been in MLS. It's disappointing to see, definitely. One thing I found out today, too, is and it's a kind of a sad thing, too, if you think of it. This is the 6-year anniversary of their opening day game against TFC in 2011, and it seems like they have, despite having a lot more talent in the game on the team, it didn't seem like they have progressed at all since then. And that's a very telling tale for this organization.
Yeah, and we're going to come to a lot of other talking points, but we have to kind of play a little bit of ads for you now, if we can get this to work. So we'll be back in a few minutes after these messages.
I got a stack of records here, a stack of records there. I got records scattered all over everywhere, but I'm looking for...
Discorder Magazine has been supporting independent music for over 30 years, and it keeps on living by joining efforts with local music supporters such as Vinyl Records. You can find a selection of Vinyl Records' featured albums on the back cover of Discorder and can support your favorite local bands and artists by purchasing their records. For more information on their vast selection of new, used, and rare music, go to vinylrecords.ca.
Want to go to a party with me?
No, the game's on.
Oh, I almost forgot. I'll be right there.
We like sports and we don't care who knows. From shooting hoops to the Super Bowl.
Do you like sports and don't care who knows? Then CITR Sports needs you. If you like sports, are into radio, or generally just want to have a great time, then come join us. Email our sports coordinator at sports101@citr.ca to find out more, or come by the station in the new sub. See you soon.
Watch, because I'm the man.
There's only one way that old clunker is going to make you feel good again. Donate it to Bullying Canada. Check this out. Free towing or pickup of your old vehicle, a tax-deductible receipt, and a super easy process. Online at bullyingcanada.ca. Get rid of that old vehicle and feel good about supporting real solutions for change in your community. Donate your old or used vehicle to Bullying Canada today. Full details online at bullyingcanada.ca.
Welcome back. You're listening to the AFTN Soccer Show on CITR Radio, 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam Territory at the University of British Columbia. So we had run a couple of Twitter polls tonight just before we head on to the show, so I just want to kind of look over each of those with you. It's only been going for like 4 hours, but I was kind of stunned that we'd already had 267 votes, so yeah. That's pretty impressive. So the first question that I asked, and this one's had 208 votes. So we asked the listeners, the readers, or Twitter followers, who do you primarily blame for the Whitecaps' poor start to the season? Robo and his tactics? Front office's lack of spending? Players playing poorly? Or all of them equally? So the number one just now is all of them equally.
Yeah.
That's 43%, followed by Robbo and his tactics at 27, the front office's lack of spending at 21, and the players playing poorly only at 10%, which I'm a little bit surprised by.
But if I were to rank the three, because I did vote and I voted all of the above, but if I were to rank the three, I would probably put the players playing poorly as the number one. Number two would be Robbo and his tactics. Number three would be the club and spending. But it's not that much off for me, all three of them. The spending part, I would always love them to spend more. But, you know, they are going to spend what they're going to spend. But I think they do have enough talent to be way more competitive in the games that they're showing right now.
See, that's the thing. It's the old argument. Once the players are on the pitch, how much does the manager have responsibility for how they play?
Yeah.
And you can go back and forth on it. We talked the last podcast about whether Robbo has a bit of a tactical naivety. He's rigid with his 4-2-3-1, but as was pointed out by Glass City on Twitter, some of the most successful teams in MLS play 4-2-3-1. Is it then that the right personnel is not in the right positions? And if that's the case, do you blame Robbo for not bringing in the right personnel? Was he handcuffed and he couldn't get the personnel that he really wanted because the front office wouldn't give them money? And nobody is going to give you an answer on that. That's the big, big problem. But Robbo, I do feel, he's a little bit too loyal to some players. He needed to send a message to some of them. And he sent a message, obviously, to Kikutamani.
Yeah.
But just some of his tactics, they need to have the team playing on the front foot, especially at home. Counter-attacking football is great away from home, but you cannot be playing that at home. And the long hoof ball over the top.
Oh, yeah, that's just, you can do it once in a while to, you know, soften up the opposition, but you can't do it the whole game because it's just not going to work, especially with TFC playing three at the back. They were playing three center backs, with Freddie Montero basically being the only person up there. There were a couple of times where he was waving people forward when the attack was going on. Nobody was joining him in the attack. And if you go back to the TFC goal, a player like Vasquez, he was essentially playing an attacking role, but in the midfield. But he was right in the 6-yard area when those crosses were coming in, and he was able to get his head to it. So, but you never see that from a Vancouver player. So that's something that they need to fix.
A tweet that we got from Ronald T. Allen, at Ronald T. Allen on Twitter, says the team lacks discipline. The discipline to shut up, keep their shape, defend, to work together. They're an effing mess.
I have to agree with that. Yeah. It's hard to agree with that. It is early in the season. I can't remember who it was. I saw it earlier today. Somebody tweeted out that they're basically on what Portland did a couple of years ago when they won the cup. They're basically on that pace right now of losing games at home, coach being rumblings about getting fired, and not the right players being there. So all they have to do, like he said, that they have to barely make the playoffs and win the cup. That's the only two things left in there.
Yeah, Seattle as well last season. And that's the thing that's going to really piss me off. It's like it's going to be a slow start.
Yeah.
I mean, it's obviously a slow start already. I mean, you look at the games coming up in MLS, LA at home, RSL away, Seattle at home.
We've got the second leg of the semifinal too home in the middle of there.
Four really tough games, three MLS ones. You're looking at the MLS ones, Salt Lake, where we haven't got a great record, two home games against two of the top teams, even though LA's not maybe in the best of form yet, as usual to start the season.
I'm sure they'll get into it by the time we play them.
Yeah, well, yeah. I want to spend some money later on as well.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's tough. You're looking towards the end of April and there's not a lot of points coming forward, and you have to ask the question, is Robbo safe? Is the pressure going to mount on him from the fans to put his job in jeopardy? He's just signed a new 4-year extension.
But how many of those were options?
It's probably going to be a 2-2, you would think. Yeah. It could be one and then three different options. But let's say we get to the end of April and there's still no wins, which is very realistic. Do you point the finger at Robbo and say, look, we need a change now? They fired Tater Tortorsen and me.
Well, that had different circumstances.
Yeah.
There was somebody ready to take over.
True. And I'm pretty sure if they wanted to find someone to take over, though, they would be putting things out there ahead of time.
Yeah. There'd be rumblings already.
Yeah, so many times in MLS, a coach gets fired and then the next day someone's appointed. So they've obviously got something in the works.
Yeah.
But I mean, the fans are starting to turn on Robbo.
Yeah.
Do you think it's justified? And B, do you think his job could be under threat?
I think based on the way they're playing, it is justified because you have to blame the coach on that circumstance. But I don't think he's going to get fired because that's based on the ability of the Whitecaps organization to want to pay a coach to sit at home. I don't see that happening. I think they're going to ride it out. They might fire him. If they fire him, maybe they fire him in August or something when the season's all done and they maybe want to bring in somebody to see how they are, maybe try one of the assistants that are with them right now. So I don't see that happening. One other poll I put out, and this is, I put it out as a joke poll, but it got some votes. I put this out in the 90th minute. I said, who would you like to see get a red card so we don't see them in the next game? Because obviously Breck Shea was suspended at that point. 37% said other, which obviously could be all of the above, which some people did tweet back as replies. 25% said Kakuta Mane, 23% Kendall Waston, and only 15% Laba, which I was surprised about. He only got 15. There was
couple of write-ins.
Yeah, a couple of write-ins. Some people said even Robbo. I think Jay Duke responded back, Robbo. He got quite a few likes on that tweet. So I think who would you put out there? Who was the player that was just dreadful yesterday for you?
Oh, just the one.
If you had to pick one. Other than Brick Shea.
I was going to say other than Brick Shea. Damn, now you're making that a tough job. Labo wasn't as bad as he's been in some other games.
Yeah.
So I'd actually give him the benefit of the doubt. Kendall Waston. An interesting thing. Farhan Devji from the Whitecaps themselves tweeted out that he had a career, I don't know if it was career equaling or a career best, 18 clearances in that game. And he said he found that strange because he didn't feel the Caps were under that much pressure. And actually,
I disagree with that.
The first half, clearances.
The first half, they were crossing the ball quite a bit. TFC from like both Betishore and Morrow were sending balls quite a few in the box.
But what I was going to say about that is, one of those 18 clearances is what led to the first goal.
Yeah,
when he didn't clear it for the second game running sufficiently enough, and it let a cross come into the box that then gets buried for the opening goal.
Yeah, and that one was, I on that goal too, I put a little blame on one of them holding midfield. I didn't get a chance to review the goal again, but that was, like we said, Victor Vasquez was the one going in. That should have been somebody that one of the holding guys marked him and seen him running, making a run into the box. They should have been there with him to at least put a little bit of pressure on him.
Yeah. And
the second goal, you pointed out at that time, that was Laba that made a half-hearted tackle. And it finally got to Altidore, who buried it.
And if you're looking at like things like discipline, the discipline, you could say it comes from the coach. Kyle Robinson made a kind of off-the-cuff comment on Friday at training where he was kind of saying, oh, it's a derby game, there'll be lots of passion, lots of fights. Well, not fights, but like fighting on...
Skirmishes.
Yeah. But like passion and intensity and like fighting for the ball, those kind of fights
is severely lacking. Yeah. At the beginning, especially. Yeah. Only that Bradley incident was the only one where there was any passion showing.
But he also said that there'd be lots of mistakes.
Yeah.
From players and from referees, because there usually is. So he made that kind of throwaway comment, and a lot of folk were saying, "How are the players going to show respect to a referee when the coach is kind of dismissing it like that?"
Yeah.
Your other side of the argument is, if no one talks about this,
it'll never get fixed.
Yeah. No one's going to mention it. And Alan Errington, the former player, former coach, 86ers legend, coached that team for a number of years, and it was at University of Fraser Valley. He was having a kind of back and forth with a few of us last night, basically saying, look, you don't criticise the referee. You know what's going to happen. You just get on with the game, and it's for the officials, for pro, for disco, for the MLS guys to address everything afterwards. I don't agree with that. I do fall into the camp that if you don't bring these issues up, then they're never going to get talked about. But at the same time, if Robbo's publicly saying things about referees, does it rub off on the players? Does the lack of discipline stop at his door because he hasn't clamped down on it properly?
No, and it was also a point of the article for Russell Beresford, that squad player. He was mentioning that he saw an incident earlier in the game when Robbo was constantly like disputing with the linesman where their throw-in should be.
Yeah.
And spent a lot of time doing that. And he made a comment that if he spent as much time teaching the players or telling the players what to do and where to go, that the Vancouver Whitecaps would be a much better position, which you have to agree, like at one point, like you have to pick your shots. Like you have to be able to, because that linesman or that refereeing crew is going to know that this coach is constantly on our butts and about the calls we make. And maybe a second yellow card within a minute would be easier to give to a team that does that a lot, that argues and constantly disputes the calls.
And we got a text from Zach, who's listened to the show from far, far away. And he's basically said that we've got two TAM players as designated players.
Yeah.
We're not using our designated player slots the way that they should be used, the way that other teams use them. And that this is one of the primary problems, and that falls on the shoulders of the football committee.
Well, yeah, I'm sure, like we said, all three, like you in your poll, all three had equal blame. A lot of people put the equal blame on everybody. So I do agree going into the season, I'd like them to bring in some better players. But especially in the central midfield, I personally would like them to see two new central midfielders in addition to Reyna returning in the summer.
And a couple of tweets from Morbital here at Morbital on Twitter. First one is, Robbo isn't the biggest problem. It's the front office culture. So continuing that.
Yeah.
That there isn't a collaborative spirit. So what power does the head coach really have there?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. There's points there. Yeah, go ahead.
And like, as long as Greg Kerfoot retains the services of Rachel Lewis, he says, someone who doesn't understand the sport, he has no hope at all that there's going to be any change. And then the final tweet from Morito is, he's played soccer for over 20 years. He's never had a red card, only three yellows. He says the Whitecaps' disciplinary problems have nothing to do with the referees.
Well, no, I totally agree with that. The referees are going to be calling the whatever plays they do, but the discipline needs to come from each player. They need to realize that a lot of them have been in this league long enough to know what they can get away with and what they can't get away with. Even Austed's the week before San Jose, Austed didn't need to charge the way he did, and he knew that if he got any contact on Wondolowski, that was an automatic red. Now, yes, some people say, "Oh, it's great to avoid the goal," but in a way, they avoided the goal, but three went after that. And we were talking about this afterwards. We saw that they're all five goals they've allowed so far in MLS play this year have been after receiving a red card.
Yeah.
So they basically have a clean sheet when they're playing with 11. And five goals allowed when playing with 10.
I mean, you're considering the problems that the defence had last year. That's a positive. We were saying that we were struggling to find positives. Yeah. That is a positive. The defence has been playing well. The defence has kept clean sheets until they go down a man and then they find themselves under more pressure. Lack of goals is obviously a continuing concern.
For sure.
The second poll we ran, this was the one that had the most votes. 271 votes as it stands just now, and you can find this on the @AFT in Canada Twitter account. What is the main thing that would give an instant fix to the Whitecaps' current woes? So a couple of folk were saying, why did you not put the front office in there? It's because they're not going anywhere. They're not going to resign.
Oh,
no one's going to buy the club over. That is not an instant fix. If you're hoping that the front office is going to change, if you're hoping that Greg Kerfoot's going to sell to someone else, there's not a mysterious buyer out there.
No, and
there's not people that's going to come in as technical directors and stuff. So
like a rich Russian or something coming in somewhere.
We might want that,
yeah,
but it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And also be careful what you want for. You don't want, I mean, you see the mess at clubs like Hull and Cardiff where owners come in and completely destroy it.
Yeah. The other thing is, even if you're expecting them to change their culture, they're not going to.
Yeah.
They're set in their ways, and that's the way they're going to run the team.
They've said they want to build. They've said that they don't want to spend a lot of money. They're not going to be a big spending club, and that isn't going to change anytime soon. So from the four options that we gave as to what is the main instant fix to the Whitecaps' current woes, fourth place at 11%. This is really weird. I'm looking at this, and it actually adds up to 101%. An awesome poll by Twitter here.
Yeah.
So apparently 11%, but let's say 10%. Nothing will help. Very pessimistic fan base we've got out there. New coach, only 20%. So a number of folk aren't blaming Robbo. They feel that the instant fix goes above that. And we were saying that people weren't saying that the players were playing poorly. That was like
in the other Twitter poll, yeah.
Whereas this got 30% that they feel new players is going to make the team an instant fix. But 40% say new tactics, formation, they feel that the players we've got can do the job. They're just not being played properly.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. We've talked about before that we would like to see different formations. Maybe a 4-4-2 sometimes. You've been a big champion on the three-man back.
That's what Toronto
played
it,
and they were really good playing that. I didn't even realize when they made that change. I guess it was going into this year. But it was a very good change, and especially Moro was really dangerous coming down the left side.
And a tweet which Will Parchman at Will Parchman sent out last night. He writes for MLS Soccer. He's known for running Top Drawer Soccer, the whole youth fantastic website, and he also does some stuff for What a Howler as well. He was talking about RSL, and he said that RSL are verging dangerously on a 0-7-4 record dating back through to September 2016. And he thinks that's verging on crisis levels. Then Glass City at Glass City FC replied to that saying, what does that make the Whitecaps record then? They're 4-7-10 since July 2016. And Mark Daly had looked back to September 2016. The Whitecaps only have 2 wins in their last 10 MLS matches. 3 draws, 5 losses. So
I kind of pointed out, and I still I haven't gone back to see how far, like how what the record is, but if you go back almost all the way to the Voyagers Cup win, and I'm wondering if maybe I'll do that one time. I'll go back and see what the record is, because I feel that's a turning point almost in their winning ways. They've had runs where they won a few games, but they were really good before that Voyagers Cup win, and they completely collapsed that year. Last year obviously wasn't a good year, and this year they haven't played well. So I would like the winning percentage after that cup win is probably not very high.
And one of my favourite tweets from last night, which 43 people liked and 12 people retweeted this. It's from AFTN writer Jay Duke at @J_Duke on
he's
Twitter.
He's very popular on Twitter.
Oh, he's massive.
Yeah.
Finally, we have a striker, they said, as they continue to pump long balls over the top from our own half to a diminutive forward on an island.
And no, Montero was by himself. It's 100%
yeah,
sure of that.
Montero must wonder what he's signed up for right now. And I'm pretty sure he didn't sign up for this. So much of it stems, though, from the fact that we don't have a proper number 10. You look at any formation. You look at whatever we're trying to do with these guys. Nicolas Mosquera. So many fans clamour for him. And yes, we did say last week he shouldn't have been taken off against San Jose. Different circumstances.
Yeah.
We didn't want him taken off because he was a guy that could hold the ball and play defensively, unlike Kakuta Mane.
Yeah.
Yes, I thought he would start yesterday. I didn't see any problem with that at all. But I don't think that Nicolas Mosquera is a guy that is MLS starting quality on a consistent basis and is going to be the answer to the number 10 woes until Jordi Reyna comes back.
Yeah, I think from what I've seen of him, and it seems like whenever he starts, it doesn't go as well. When he comes off the bench, last week was an exception to that rule against San Jose, but usually when he starts, it doesn't go well. When he comes off the bench, he does provide a spark coming off there. So maybe he's a guy that needs to see the game and how it's playing and probably inject some energy into it. Maybe he's that energy guy off the bench. And I think that's probably what his role will be going forward. Until Reyna gets back, obviously.
So we were going to play you some audio from the Toronto side post-game. We were going to play Greg Vanney and Michael Bradley. What I'm going to do, I'm going to keep that for the podcast. So if you want to download the podcast, you can get the TFC audio from that. Now, the Vanney audio is different from the Vanney audio from the post-game presser and the video that's up on TFC's site. This is a separate chat that Steve and Kurt Larson had with Vanney after the game. Did you ask Larson about that fake story he put out?
No, I didn't have a chance.
That was disappointing. But yeah, so we're going to play that. That's altogether, it's about 7-8 minutes. So we're going to include that in the podcast. So if you're listening to the podcast, we're going to hear that now. And for those of you listening on the radio, we're going to play some more messages. Always a fun thing. I'm sure you really, really want that. So yeah, we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
This year's Fun Drive theme is Shape Your Media, and the March issue of Discorder explores what independent media means to us. Cantlit is a podcast that gives a platform to new wave of Canlit. We dissect fake news from the perspective of a journalism student. Holy Hum and Angela of Susu question their roles in resistance. And one writer calls out Pitchfork's latest opinion piece, does college radio even matter anymore?
Of course.
Some of our sections are also expanding, with Real Live Action now reviewing comedy and Under Review reviewing its first podcast. Thanks to this month's sponsors, Live Van, the UBC AMS, Flex Your Head, the Rickshaw Theater, Timber Concerts, the Spring Record Convention, the Rio Theater, Karaoke Music Video, the Wise Hall, and Neptune Records. pick up one around town, or read online at CITR.ca.
Hey, did you know?
More than 4,500 Canadians are waiting for an organ transplant right now.
Right now. 4,500.
People are dying.
And you could save a life. 90% of Canadians say they're willing to donate their organs.
But only a few are registered.
So what are you waiting for? Get registered.
It's easy and it's free.
Leave a legacy. Be a hero.
Save a life.
Find out how to register today. Go to kidney.ca.
You're listening to the AFT and Soccer Show on CITR Radio, 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the University of British Columbia. So, for those on the podcast, you'll have heard Greg Vanier and Michael Bradley talking there. They talked about a number of things. In particular, they talked about Vasquez.
Yeah.
They talked about discipline and stuff as well, but I think we've covered enough about discipline. But Victor Vasquez, here's a guy that Greg Vanney has been trailing for 2 years.
Scouting, yeah.
Had a chance to bring him in as a DP 2 years ago. Didn't. That was when he was with Bruges.
And I think they brought in, that was the year they brought in Giovinco, Bradley, and Altidore in the same year.
And he looks like he's a difference maker. Vanney basically said, so for the folk that are listening to the radio show, he was basically said that he finds gaps around the field, that he is technically proficient, he moves the ball fast, that his ideas come quick, and that he sees passes that a lot of guys don't see, and then he can get the ball quickly, which is something that was lacking from their midfield. He said that to have someone that can basically unlock a defence with a one-touch pass or a quick look is a new dimension for their group.
Yeah. That's something we need.
That's something we had with Pedro Morales in year one.
I'm glad you said year one.
And we've never had it since. No. And that is something that is severely lacking in the midfield. And you heard me asking Rob at the start there about bringing new players in.
Yeah.
Because we talked midweek about whether Kakuta Mane was on the trading block. We also talked that I thought Spencer Ritchie was starting. So we were right about that.
Yeah.
Are we right about Kakuta Mane being traded? Didn't start yesterday. Message being sent. They need a creative midfielder. They need an Atiba Hutchison kind of central midfielder. If he's coming in the summer, can they wait to the summer to get that box-to-box guy and still keep in the mix? Ultimately, though, they need some creativity in that midfield because there was nothing yesterday.
Yeah, if Bolaños gets healthy enough, they might be able to wait a little bit on that if they feel like he's totally okay from his injury and he gets fit from, like Bravo said, the international away dates. He comes back with good fitness and everything. They could ride it a little bit longer, but I still think that they need a minimum at least one central midfielder, somebody to make a difference, somebody that could push the ball forward from the defensive areas.
Yeah, they've got 2 weeks basically to the next game. They need to kind of really get something sorted. And a lot of folk will talk that the Whitecaps have never been the same since Gershon Coffey left.
Yeah.
He was kind of box-to-box, but he just wasn't consistent enough.
No, he wasn't as technical as you wanted to be in a box-to-box guy. He would lose the ball a lot, and it'd be kind of scrambly, but he did have that a little bit, and he was physical enough that he wouldn't get pushed off the ball. And he could make those stops in the midfield before it got to the back four.
And another player who folk regularly say the Whitecaps have never been the same since they let him go was right back Stephen Bateshuer.
Yeah.
And we all know the Whitecaps right back woes last year. I don't think that's our big, big problem this year. Shannon Williams, Jake Nowinski, two very serviceable players. But a lot of folk do say that the Whitecaps have lost the ability to win since they lost a veteran like Stephen Bateshuer. And Steve, you got a chance to catch up with Beta yesterday. We're going to play that for you now. Just a quick 3-minute chat from after the game. And yeah, just talking about what life is like in Toronto.
Steve, obviously a good game for the guys today. You guys started three games on the road. Obviously, this is your second time doing that. How was it? Are you kind of getting used to it? Is it almost like a positive for you guys to start on the road, kind of gel together, and then get the home game eventually under your wings?
Yeah, I think so. You know, anytime you can get results on the road, it's a good thing. You know, at the same time you're on the road, you're spending more time together. I think that's also a positive we take out of it. And our main focus is being tough to play against and getting clean sheets, and that's what we've done so far. Two out of the three games, you know, we've gotten clean sheets, so we want to keep that going and keep the hopefully the same mentality going home. But once we're in front of our crowd, we can kind of push forward and get some more goals.
Yeah,
but
it's like almost like an extended preseason, and yeah, you don't have to worry about entertaining your fans
exactly,
at home, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Anytime you're at home, you want to make sure, you know, you put your best foot forward and you entertain them and you get good results. On the road, it's different. You know, you just want to keep it clean in the back and get a clean sheet. And we were able to do that two out of the three games.
Your second, obviously starting your second year, is getting more comfortable to Toronto? Man,
I think the first year it's more of a transition just because you're trying to find a place to live. You know, you're getting comfortable with the guys and new friends in Toronto. So it's always a transition that first year. But the second year, once you're already settled in your place, you don't have to worry about moving and all that, the little details, it's a lot easier. And then you have your other friends over there from the previous year, which is nice.
A lot of people coming into this game were talking about Sebastian Giovinco missing. I know you guys want to shed that moniker of a one-man team. Is a result like this, you know, not for you guys, but for everybody else to not assume that you guys are a one-man team? Is it good for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody knows he's a hell of a player. Yeah. There's no hiding it. You know, he's a MVP for a reason of the league. But at the same time, there's 10 other players on the field that have to contribute and do their part. And anytime someone has a chance to come in and fill in, they do an admirable job. Toss did a great job. He's a great player. He works hard. So, you know, if one player, two players, three players are missing, guys have to step up, and that's the beauty of having a deep team like we do.
You guys came very close last year to winning the Cup. Mm-hmm. Do you guys feel like you have all the pieces this year? Obviously, you have a lot of stuff to work on, but do you feel like you have all the pieces that can make you make another run at it?
Yeah. I thought we had all the pieces last year, to be honest. Yeah. It's just an unfortunate game. I'm sure you watched it. And I don't think there's one person that will say we didn't deserve to win that game. But unfortunately, the soccer gods weren't with us on that day, and we didn't win. But we still have all the pieces. Only one player has moved on, and we just have to make sure that hunger is still there to get back, because we have, you know, all but one piece still there.
Yeah. Well, thanks a lot.
That was Stephen Betashur talking to Steve there after yesterday's game.
Yeah, I miss talking to him. It was always a great interview. He always opened up and was very honest, even when he was with Vancouver.
He was really pleased to see us as well. It was kind of nice.
Yeah.
I didn't even think you'd remember who we were.
The thing is you want to see the Whitecaps win, but because I usually go into the visitors' dressing room, it's always more pleasant when the opposition team wins. It's easier to talk to the coach. You don't have to worry about anything upsetting them by asking the questions. It's a really fun time, for me at least, for them with a little bit after the game.
Well, it's certainly not a fun time for Whitecaps fans. Well, we'll get definitely to some more tweets here.
We could actually done a whole show on the tweets, the amount of tweets that were out there.
I'm really sorry for the people that we can't get around to your tweets. It's just gone absolutely nuts. I mean, even from sitting down and saying to tweet us, we had 17 folk tweeting at us. So. Yeah. One here from Aidan Rantoul, who says, a lot of first-time Whitecap supporters or long silent supporters seem to be speaking up over the last 24 hours.
Yeah, I do agree with that. We were talking about that there was a lot of booing going after the game. I was wondering what percentage of that is against the refs and what's against the actual players and team.
It was like part booing, though, but a lot of indifference.
Yeah.
And for me, that's the more terrifying thing.
Yeah.
Because
I think a lot of fans are still getting used to coming to the football matches. I don't think they're...
Well, I hate 1 o'clock kickoff, for starters.
I don't actually mind it. We get to get home really early.
Yeah. At least I got to see a VMSL game, as I said, which was much more entertaining. But I mean, lots of folk are complaining about the front office. If you want to make your point, there's two really good ways of doing it. Well, there's a few ways. You can also write to them or call them. I have heard Bobby Leonarduzzi gets on the phone to people and does discuss things as well. So I will definitely tip my hat to that. The Whitecaps are good at responding to stuff. But if you want to get your message heard, There's no point going online. The Facebook, Whitecaps Facebook page last night was a very dark place.
Was it?
Yeah. I briefly went into it and I was like, yeah, I'm coming
I'm
out
always,
here.
I'm always concerned with the, not concerned, but I'm always like interested to see when the, like Farhan, when he has to tweet something out positive, like his Kendall Waston tweet. Yeah. Well, how many, what replies did he get for that? Or like other things that
well,
he has
again,
to.
Well, again, though, a lot of indifference.
They have to be positive because that's what they're trying to sell the team to people that maybe were under a rock and didn't know that the team was 0-2-1.
But
0-1-2.
If you want to make your point to the front office, the ways of doing that is financially. So you either don't get season tickets, stop buying merchandise, don't get single tickets, just don't turn up to the game. That sends a message. But the other way of doing it, which folk in Canada seem really loath to do, is to boo at the game, to make your to make your voice heard at the game, to make your displeasure heard, whether it's at Robbo, whether it's at the players, whether it's at the front office. The only way to get your voice heard is to show it at a game, because doing it online doesn't do anything.
Yeah, and there was no booing in the first half when the game was horrible. You did hear a few like murmurs, not a full out, like, you know, the whole all BC plays doing it at once, but whenever there would be a back pass, if there was a chance it looked like there was a breakout and the team would like slow it down and hold on to it, the team, the fans would get uncomfortable. You can sense an uncomfortability around the stadium. When they would, even if they were push the ball through and nothing would happen, they would get cheer. There'd actually be a cheer. I don't know if it was a sarcastic cheer or they actually meant it, but yeah, you would hear that. Another thing you could do, and I was watching one of the shows that talk about English soccer, because there are a lot of people complaining about Arsenal not being underachievers. And they were saying, like, if you don't want to miss the game, come 10 minutes late and show your displeasure that way.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, yeah, Vancouver could do that, Vancouver fans, but usually they come late anyway. No, so I don't know how much of an effect that would be.
But the thing is as well, though, it's like you're not hitting them in the pocket that way because you're still paying to come. And as I've discussed before, back in Scotland at East 5, we boycotted a whole season.
Yeah.
And it really hurt us because we didn't get to watch our team at home. We went to away games.
Yeah.
But we didn't go at home and we hit them in the pocket.
It's easier in Scotland to do that.
But we did get a regime change eventually, but it's because the numbers had dwindled to under 200.
The thing is the most, the people who come for single game tickets, I think come for the atmosphere and because of, it's an event, it's a game. I think the people who actually are more invested are people that buy season tickets. And by then, you can't do anything about it once you pay up for the season ticket.
Yeah.
And there are a number of people out there that are longtime season ticket holders that have canceled their tickets over the last few years.
Yeah, I've been surprised, actually.
Yeah, and when I hear the names, obviously people on the radio, people who listen probably won't know these people. But you are surprised when you hear, okay, this guy's not coming anymore to game. He'll come to a game here and there, but he's not buying season tickets anymore.
Yeah, I mean, people that I go and I meet at VMSL games, SFU games, they've been like, oh, yeah, I didn't get a season ticket this year.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, wow. A couple of other quick tweets. Chris Jarvie, at Jarvie Chris, said, quality aside, the passion, intensity, commitment and energy shown in today's Liverpool-Man City game was sorely missing in MLS, and it can't stay that way. You can't compare English Premiership, though, to MLS, but there was yesterday, looking at it from a Whitecaps point of view, I thought it was a terrible atmosphere off the pitch.
Oh.
Admittedly, they were not getting given much on it.
Well, that's what I mean. Whenever they would push the ball forward a little bit, there was a cheer.
Yeah, well,
so they were desperate to cheer for the game.
At one point yesterday, I think it was after the second goal went in, Zach shouted something through the megaphone from Curva, and there was such a deathly silence that you kind of heard what it said, which was, get Spencer a hat.
Oh, really? Okay.
But the fact that you can hear that in a 20,000 crowd...
I don't even know if he had a megaphone. I think he might have just been yelling.
He does have a very loud voice. Yeah. Apart from when we're doing this, where he's really soft and we have to keep amping him up.
Yeah.
Greg Baxter said, what happened to the group that dominated San Jose for 20 minutes? I mean, that performance against San Jose, three games, but it's like best of the season. But that was a great performance for those 20 minutes. And that was the fringe guys who were clearly hungry to make a point.
Yeah.
And for all that we ride Hurtado and we talked about his miss, What kind of message have you sent Hurtado? He got a goal. He got an assist against San Jose.
He had to sit out midweek and he sat out the end.
And again, that comes down to Robbo's player management. It's not fantastic.
Maybe they should have done a 4-4-2 at that point and make him the second striker to go with Montero. I'll put Montero in the 10, number 10.
I thought he would start because Montero can't go a full 90.
Yeah.
So I thought there's no way he's going to start after having started in Tigres. I thought what I really thought was going to happen is the Whitecaps would play cagey for the first hour, which they did.
Yeah.
And then they would bring on the big guns of Montero, Breck Shea. I'm classing him as a big gun. He likes his big guns.
Mm.
Lots of photos to prove that. But I thought that's what he would do. He would like start guys like Hurtado and then bring them on.
No, I don't have a problem with the starting lineup. Like we talked about before, we expected that starting lineup. But I thought that there would be a different tweaks to it. I agree with you there.
Some more tweets from at Murray D. Lynn. He'd like to see electroshock therapy for any backline player that launches the ball forward unnecessarily, and waterboarding for any midfield fullback who kills an attacking move with an unnecessary back pass. Drastic
extreme
measures.
Situation, yeah.
Hey, but
my work.
Yeah, I mean we're in a drastic time. I'm just laughing because Steve's trying to have a drink out of a water bottle that I brought him, that's got no water in it. I forgot to tell you,
so
I emptied
desperate.
The water.
it's really hot in the studio. It's my first time here.
It's absolutely roasting. Just a couple more tweets and then we'll get to wavelength. El Canico says, if we're talking about our poll and it's like an immediate fix, he says new tactics formation and players needed to make it work. A new number 8, a new number 9, a new number 10. Medium term, a new front office. And long term, new owners. Now, we talked about Montero. Paul Harder at Harder Blog said, a lone striker doesn't work. No matter how talented, how many touches for Montero to date, very few really. And the best chance was, as we said, Freddie blocking that keeper's kick.
Got one tweet here from Royal 86er at Royal 86er. I thought it was a pretty funny tweet and pretty poignant. A double shield seems to mean no sword, apparently.
And I love this tweet from at R. Baldry. He says, Robbo obviously fancies having a tall forward as a tool in his box. Sadly, Shea takes this role too literally. So, I mean, that's a good one. So we'll get back to some tweets in a sec. For now, though, it's time for our wavelength section of the show, where we play a football-related tune. Obviously, last week we had our whole wavelength section. Tonight, we're going back to 1995. Half Man, Half Biscuit, returning to the show. Favourites of mine, favourites of a lot of people.
I'm surprised you didn't have any songs left after last week.
Yeah, fortunately or unfortunately, depending on whether you love or hate the section, and we've had a lot of feedback both ways. Yeah, I've tons of songs left. So we're going to have Half Man, Half Biscuit from 1995, from their album Some Call It Godcore. And I think this is a very fitting song for the lyrics. Considering the Whitecaps aren't selling out their games, considering they're not playing very well, just listen to the lyrics of this. This is Friday night, and the gates are low.
When I had my loft converted back into a loft, the neighbours came around and scoffed. Called me retro, but they are the type who never used to go to the match until the family thing got big in the late 80s. That's a steward in the stand, brace of comps in his hand. New men run the crash while home. Around and pointless. Stick a burger in my mouth. Shove a seat beneath my ass. Buy the sheds and the shops and socks. With the keepers' sweaty jocks. Point a gun down at your foot.
am I supposed to be at home? Friday night and the gates are low and it's raining. Bastard slip of a sub during my weekend. So you came and went, cause on crap $3 million was spent. And if Josh wants a five-man tent, there must be forfeits. Starman said bye-bye, and now you're reaching for the sky. Sit back, relax, and watch us die of entertainment. Fiancé said that it was fun, even though the others won. I can't stand anymore, cause I can't stand anymore. You were blind, but you will see. Tonight's attenders want to flee. Friday night and the gates are low and it's raining. Bastard slip of a sub through my weekend.
Half Man Half Biscuit there, and Friday Nights and the Gates Are Low from their 2005 album, Some Call It Godcore. Was it 1995? I can't remember.
95, you said initially.
It might be 2005.
It kind of ended abruptly there, caught us off guard.
Yeah, we're just chatting away about what we're going to do in next week's show. That's how professional we are. Of course, next week there's no Whitecaps game. Whitecaps 2 season gets underway on Saturday against LA. I do think it's going to be a long season for Whitecaps too as well.
A lot of young players being on that team, yeah.
And I'm going to finish, or maybe going to finish, because we've got some more tweets and emails coming in.
Emails?
Yeah, texts, I think. Okay. I don't know. We're kind of just, we've already overrun by about 10, 15 minutes. So, hey, let's just keep going. Let's just go all night. I'm all for that.
Sure. I have to be work at 5 in the morning. I'll be okay.
Yeah, I have to be at 9. I'm fine.
As long as we're done by 8 o'clock, because that's when Breakfast with the Browns will be on.
Oh, don't want to miss that. So, is that like breakfast with your family?
No.
No, okay. We've got a couple of tweets here from Nick Hendrickson at Red Army Nick. He says, in answer to our poll question about what's responsible for the Whitecaps' poor start to the season, we're going to have a positive tweet. We were talking earlier about could we find some positives.
Oh, wow.
And some positives fans. So he's one of them. He says none of the above. Tight schedule, primarily, and poor luck. All MS goals coming after being a man down isn't Robbo's fault, and I do agree with that.
Yeah.
Because you have to rely on the players when they're on the pitch to do their job and not be stupid and get sent off. Also, you can't blame the front office for getting Montero, Shea and Williams. Not exactly a lack of spending, just smart. And, yeah.
My only issue with that is the Montero, Breccia, and Matias Laba are the three DPs right now. Personally, for me, talent-wise, only one of them is DP-worthy, and that's Montero. Laba, I think he's more of like a TAM player where you want to pay it down, and Breccia is not DP-worthy for me. So in that sense, I do think that it'd be better off if they had two better players in those positions.
And we have got a message asking us to go all night.
Okay, excellent.
Okay, so let's just keep going.
we could talk about other things.
I could...
Wrestling?
Yeah, if anyone wants us to talk about Ring of Honor, WrestleMania coming up as well. Hey, we could do a wrestling show next weekend.
Sure.
Yeah.
Let us know.
Preview WrestleMania for everyone. If you want that, just let us
hashtag
know.
Hashtag wrestling yes.
Hashtag wrestling no. Hashtag you're sad. I don't know. Yeah. Couple of other things just coming in here. Chris Harrop GK on Twitter, Chris Harrop, says that the team fan, whoever, but mainly the team is losing faith in our young Canadians. Froese is gone. McKendry and Bustos aren't playing. Ali Cugby's in England. Of course, Bustos is now in Scotland. He's away to play for the national team against my Scottish guys.
Yeah, well, a couple of things. Froese, it's more like he wanted to get to go over to Europe. I think he pushed that forward. Adekube, that's a loan. They wanted to get him more playing time. They didn't think he was going
to... He's not going to want to come back, though.
He might not want to, exactly, at this point. Bustos, I do agree with. And McKendry played last week against San Jose, and
he
got some decent reviews, I thought. And I remember not last offseason, the offseason before, Robbo actually compared him to Will Johnson at a younger, that age, and thought that he can, in a couple, 2-3 years, he could be the player that they need.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a fan of McKendry, and I thought he did well last week. I thought he deserved to be playing way before last week to make his debut, but injuries and things kind of got in the way.
Yeah,
He offered more last week than what we've seen from any of our DMs like Tybert and Jacobson, and that he likes to get forward, even with the 10 men. Part of that 22 possession was McKendry going forward in the second half because he took the ball forward a few times.
Yeah.
And we don't have these guys that can do that. If we bring in Atiba Hutchison, Robbo always makes a big deal about not blocking young players' pathways. But you bring in a Hutchison and you're blocking someone like McKendry.
You're blocking him, but also that's a player that McKendry would style fits and he could learn a lot from him. And I think right now he's not going to learn anything from playing behind Tybert, Laba or Jacobson.
And Zach, who was the person that told us to go all night, has now said... We cannot go all night if we're going to talk about wrestling. So he says no now. We've not to continue. He might be the only person still listening to this. Who knows? A couple of final tweets and then we'll wrap this up. Because as always, we're never sure if our cars are going to be there when we get back out of the studio. Brenton Walters at Caps Offside says, any deep player capable or comfortable of holding the ball, as you read earlier? You've just told me. I didn't know you'd read that. I don't know. I don't listen to what you say. We'll cut that out of the podcast. That's not a great way of ending. I'm going to put you on the spot. I'm going to do our new section.
Okay.
And you don't know what this new section is, so we'll do it together.
Okay.
This
will be a team effort this time.
What we're going to do, our new writer, Anna Namshirin, we're going to possibly get her involved in this part of the show. She doesn't know this either. I'm just springing this on her live on air.
She's listening. Meant to be listening, right, if they were working.
Oh, yeah. Basically, if they're out for AFTN and they're not listening live, it's like they do get this electroshock treatment that we were talking about earlier. That's why Zach's having to listen in the middle of nowhere. We're going to do a section called Reasons to be Cheerful / Miserable, where we're going to come up with three reasons to be cheerful, three reasons to be miserable about the Whitecaps right now. And it could be about the game that's just been played. But I think what we'll do for this first section, because Anna has created this optimists union.
Okay.
So she wants to try and look on the bright side of things. So I thought because of that, she's the ideal person for this. Because I'm a miserable git, as folk that know me will aptly testify.
I don't think you really need to know you in order to know that.
Yeah, that's true. I do get a lot of abuse on Twitter from a girl called Christina for being miserable.
As long as it's on Twitter.
Yeah. I am miserable. You can just ask my wife about that. But basically, we're going to, for this first section, springing this on, we're going to think of three reasons to be cheerful about the Whitecaps as of right now. And then we will come up with three reasons to be miserable about the Whitecaps just now. And I've got to be honest, the whole reason that I am doing this is basically just so I can play this intro.
Reasons to be cheerful. That's three. Reasons to be cheerful. That's three. Reasons to be cheerful. Part three. Reasons to be cheerful. 1, 2, 3.
Ian Jury there with Reasons to be Cheerful Part 3. And I was listening to his greatest hits, and this is what gave me the idea for this section. So let's finish the show on a positive. We've been a bit doom and gloom. Let's see if we can use our combined brains to come up with three reasons to be cheerful about the Whitecaps right now.
Okay, one I'll put out there is the back line, although not positive going forward, have been very solid defending. Like we said earlier, all five goals allowed have been when they were a man down. And, you know, Harvey, then you got Williams on the as the fullbacks, they've been very solid compared to last year. Save a couple of mistakes here or there when they're down 10 men, like we said. And I think Waston has been solid, and whether he's playing with Parker or Dean.
That's a good one. So we've got one reason to be cheerful. Second reason to be cheerful, we're only three games into the season. It's a long way to go. We've got players like Christian Bolaños coming back. Once he comes back, it's going to be a different looking team. We're going to have Jordi Reyna back in the summer. Robles does sound like he is wanting to make some moves before the transfer window closes. So I think we are going to see some guys shipped out. And he has to ship guys out to bring them in. There's just not any salary cap, I don't think, to be able to do that. So I think having someone like Bola back and possibly new additions, that's something to look forward to. And we are just a couple of games into the season. So we haven't fallen too far behind. We're only 3 points off the playoff spots.
That's not bad. With the 31 games to go?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We could take that as our third reason to be cheerful.
Yeah.
3 points off the playoff spots.
I'll add another honorable mention. Now, I didn't do any kind of research in this, but they might have achieved a milestone where they might have been the first MLS team to lose three games in a week in three different countries.
And they've talked a lot about making history this year. So
yes,
there we go.
That could be a milestone, MLS milestone.
Yeah. And also talking about making history, Tigres game's coming up. That's going to be a great occasion as long as Tigres don't score in the first minute. So there, we got three reasons to be cheerful. So now, again, part of this segment is just so that I could play some good songs. So now, we've got three reasons to be miserable.
To be dead. It's one more thing to gripe about as I while away my days in bed.
Half man, half biscuit again there. Featuring twice in the show tonight. I mean, that's superb, with reasons to be miserable.
They're hitting it big now.
Yeah, I'm trying to get more folk into Half Man, Half Biscuit over here. Lots of great songs. All I Want for Christmas is a Dukla Praga away kit.
Okay.
One of their famous... We haven't done that in our wavelength section yet because that's too obvious a one. I'll keep that for when I do run out of tunes.
Yeah, you're spoiling right now. You can't tease too much like that.
So, reasons to be miserable, Steve.
I think that we talked about it before, midfield creativity, lack thereof. It's just the three of them, whoever, so except for Bolaños. Although Bolaños, when he came on, he came in as a winger. He didn't really play the midfield too much. He was slide in and out.
Yeah, Bolaños to me isn't a number 10 anyway.
Yeah, he's not a number 10.
He should be out wide.
But the personnel they have right now has basically zero, gives me zero confidence in anything going forward. It seems like the only way they can do anything is out wide. And if you keep doing that and you have no options through the middle, they're eventually going to shut you down out wide. And that's what they kind of did with the 3-5-2 yesterday.
For me, a reason to be miserable is basically our shots on target. Just not happening. I mean, we rattled through it earlier in the show. To have two home games where you've got one shot on target in each game, that's just depressing.
And lack of discipline. It's
yep.
Basically right now, I remember when Robbo said a red card out of nowhere, it just gave me the idea that this could be a wrestling theme. See, Zach's turning heel right now, where they say red RKO out of nowhere. And it could be red card out of nowhere.
I like that. It's like we're going to get some memes going out. It's like red card out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And sadly, the Whitecaps are getting red cards out of nowhere.
Yeah, and there was a stat. Somebody gets tweeted out. I should save these tweets to give credit for. But people were tweeting out that the number of red cards the Caps get like over the number of certain games is like 12 more than any other team. And that the discipline is a big issue with this team. I don't know what they can do to fix it. I honestly don't know. I don't know a solution for that. It seems like
you would get
the idea eventually. I don't know if there's something in the water in Vancouver. We've had riots, obviously. So maybe there's something in the water in Vancouver that these red cards keep happening.
And just Zach, dearly departed Zach, sent us a text to say that his three reasons to be cheerful, because we'll end the show on a happy note, is the CCL semis, Alfonso Davies, and it's early days.
And he appreciates all of it.
Yeah. And just before we wrap up, I know I've kind of been saying that for about 20 minutes now, just before we wrap up, we've got a tweet from @DanMatthias wanting to know if there's any TSS Rovers news. Well, yes, there is. they're going to be able to officially start announcing players this week. They do have players signed. As people may or may not know, AFTN is the media partner of TSS Rovers this year for their first PDL season. I'm going to be doing the colour commentary for the season ahead. And really looking forward to it. It's going to be a great season. Juan de Fuca plates up for grabs again. There's a reason to be cheerful. But yeah, they're going to be announcing players this week. With the PDL registration system, they just can't announce guys until
school lets out or something like that.
They've got a number of guys done. They've got the open tryouts. There's been two so far. The final one's tomorrow on Monday. Some really good guys seem to have turned up for that. So they're very, very hopeful. We're going to have a number of pieces on AFTN in the 7 weeks up to the start of the season. And it's, yeah, lots of great stuff to do. We're going to talk about the players. We're going to get you to know the team. Just everything about them. So there's some really good reasons to be cheerful. But anyway, that is it for this episode of the show. We've gone to 12:30. That was not the plan. Yeah. Steve, just before we go, let everyone know where they can find you online.
You can find me on Twitter at WhitecapsBeat and also speeding on the highway back home to get to sleep because I have to go to work tomorrow at 5.
Yeah, I'm really sorry. I completely forgot you were working early tomorrow. And I'm Michael McCall. You can find me on Twitter at AFTNCanada. Read our stuff, AFTN.ca, away from the numbers. I'm also the Whitecaps beat reporter for MLSsoccer.com and the Western Conference reporter for USLsoccer.com. But anyway, thank you for listening. If you're still with us on the live radio show, really, really appreciate you listening to Half Past Midnight.
Yeah, go to sleep, people.
Yeah.
Don't stay up for this.
And yeah, as always, thanks for listening. Take care and mon the Caps.
Going to your first match is an experience you never forget. The atmosphere of what's going on around the pitch looks beautiful and you always look and go, wow, I'd love to play here one day. If you get the bug, it's going to stay with you for life.
Here's the basics if you like. I'm unshaved, she bare gross, so impressed. Don't lay still, it's one day and there's one night. Then I'll be back about your life. The sun till fuck the morning, one day, cause sun tight. No relationship to waste on this, we'll go until it's light. And I'm gone. DMS, I bling up in the pawn shop and on rock minutes. Find me chiseling a long shot, then chisel widow's bricks in a form. A second's tick on the minutes, and how the top got ignored. And kill it, miss it, it's vicious to live this month for the bills. We know the story, gory slums, 40 slump in the hills. Shorty's gumping his skills to kill the present, indebted to his.